Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Sci-Side Podcast with me, Jack Walton. Be sure to subscribe on both iTunes and Spotify, and follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, to keep updated for new monthly episodes. Hi, everyone. So we are now on episode 4. Would you believe it? Where is the time going? It's now June. Time is literally flying by. So last time I spoke to my friend Will about personal development, I spoke to my sister, and I spoke to my friend Gavin. And today I'm joined by somebody who's really, really special. She's a really good friend of mine. We've actually got like a really dynamic, interesting friendship that's, you know, it's had lots of twists and turns, which I guess we can tell you a little bit about after. But I'm going to introduce you. This is my amazing friend, and she's Vic Salvador.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Vic. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've just done an all-nighter, but I'm feeling great.
Vic's a trooper today. Like, she's come here, she's doing the podcast, she's been up all night, but she's here. Such a trooper.
Assignments, hey?
Yeah, literally. Is this your first podcast? Have you done any before?
No, so this is actually my first proper podcast, and I couldn't be more grateful that you asked me to do it.
I love that. That's so sweet. Like, why don't you tell everybody a bit about, like for people that don't know, tell them about, like, our friendship and how it's, like, evolved, and, like, how have you come to sit here today to do this? Like, just give us a brief overview, because our friendship's been quite, it's had quite an interesting journey, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, so for those of you that don't know, I met Jack when I was probably in the worst point that I've been, you know, when you get to real low, and he was the one person that managed to get me actually out of bed and into a shower, and, you know, really motivated me through a mobile phone. You know, he wasn't even present and, like, in physical person, and it was just the power behind the words that you say to someone that really, that captivates that. And I'm very thankful for the friendship that I have with Jack, because it honestly, without him, I don't think I'd be sat in this room. I wouldn't be at university. And that is something that can be difficult to, like, process. I mean, for Jack, I can see his facial reaction. You know, it is something that people kind of go, whoa, really? One person changed that? And it's like, yeah, one person can change somebody's entire mindset. And I'm so thankful that I had somebody shine a light through the darkness that I was in at the time.
Oh, wow. that's just so, so lovely, because I think for me, I knew I had to give you this support, because you were, you know, I just knew that you were somebody that was going through a lot of stuff, and it's, in times like that, it's really important to have somebody there just to kind of show you that there can be light at the end of the tunnel. And it's almost like I was, you know, you were in the tunnel and I was just, the torch was there. There's light around. There's light around. And I guess that's interesting, because that is kind of a big one of what we're going to talk about today. And that is mental health, which is, for me and you, huge, huge passion, isn't it? It's a huge one. Why don't you tell us, like, more so just about you in general now? Like, who are you? What do you do? Tell us about your journey. Okay. Who are you, Vic?
So, well, I'm actually now studying a digital marketing fast track course, which I am so in love with. I previously studied journalism, which is the course that I met Jack on. But it's been a journey. I'm now comfortably happy in day-to-day life, which is something that I couldn't have said even a year ago. You know, I have a full diagnosis, and I have regular counselling, and I'm doing physical activity. So I do cheerleading, which is great. I have the loveliest little circle of friends, which for me, when I came to university, I was like, yeah, let's try and have as many friends as possible. And then I went, hold on a minute.
Yeah, you know, I get that.
These aren't real friends. I want real connections with people.
You want quality, don't you? Over quantity,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's exactly what I found with Jack, Ivana, you know.
Shout out to Ivana.
That's my best friend.
Aww.
But yeah. No, I mean, that's currently where I'm at. I'm at the moment looking to set up kind of a digital marketing freelancing situation.
Nice.
Where I'm outsourcing to different companies, which is great. I've just sent off a proposal this morning.
Ooh,
so that's positive.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely trying to focus on positive attributes of my life now.
The positive elements.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been on such a journey, haven't you? Like, in a year, look how far you have come and evolved. Like, there's been so much happening that behind the scenes that people would be totally unaware of. You've just grown so much.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not an overnight process, and I'm definitely not finished with my with my journey.
It's just beginning, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I have now more of a clear understanding of how to help myself.
Yeah.
And how to let those people know around me what's going on.
Yeah.
Because
that's key, isn't it?
That's so key when it comes to mental health issues. So, so key.
It's beyond key. Like, would you mind, like, kind of telling us a little bit about your mental health story? Because I'm going to, like, share mine with you as well, and we can kind of see if we've got similar kind of themes that crop up and what have you.
Okay. Yeah. So I have been diagnosed with depression, and I also suffer from outbursts of anxiety.
Yeah.
I have different mechanisms of coping with those. I actually carry a little dragon in my bag or outside of my bag, depending on
I've
the
seen
key.
It haven't I
it's a little white light fury from How to Train Your Dragon. Now I love that character, and I just have forged this special connection with it, and I rub the head and it helps me to recenter myself when I need it.
That word, recenter,
yeah,
I use that a lot.
So, you know, when my anxiety starts to flare up, that's what I use for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, my journey through learning and understanding that I had depression, getting help and the counselling and all that kind of thing, and I chose not to do medication.
Yeah.
And that's just because I prefer to talk about what's going on to a counsellor. And I wanted to pursue that more so. Now, with counselling, it's up and down, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I've had counselling.
But at the moment, I finally got counselling from the university, which
is
me,
amazing, isn't it?
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for a long time, and I know that they are stretched very thin.
Yeah.
But it's so good to finally have this constant person that I can see
exactly.
that understands my educational side without me having to explain modules, deadlines, extenuating circumstances. Yeah, yeah. And that's truly a benefit, because I used to go outside, and that was good, but they only saw me for 6 weeks.
Was that all?
Yeah, yeah. They can only see you for a period of 6 weeks.
And that's not long at all, is it?
You can spread that over a course of however long you like, but you only have 6 weeks worth.
Which isn't a hell of a lot.
No, not really, if you think about the year that's gone by.
And how long it can take to...
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, though, initial things like that, it's first of all, it's saying anything that's happened, and then after that, it's working out, okay, so what happens next? How do we get better?
Mm.
Sometimes it can take multiple ones just to say... let's just clear out all my head first.
Yeah, definitely.
Then let's try to see if I can start recovering after I've actually analysed everything and I've spoke about everything and got it all on paper, so to speak, because that can take a while.
That can take a while. I'm still doing
it's
that.
It's like clearing it out. I see it like rubbish in my head. It's like we're just taking out the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing, aren't we? We're like just clearing the rubbish out. It's like goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely, yeah. I mean, it's still now when... a lot of things are going on, it can be difficult for me to process.
Mm.
And that's just a part of the way I'm affected by my depression.
Yes.
So, you know, my counsellor at the moment, we're working through different ways of me being able to process things.
Yeah.
Even if it means, you know, I'm not necessarily talking to someone. How do I write it down? Do I start a journal? Do I start a podcast?
Yes.
You know,
see?
These kind of things.
So many options.
Yeah, definitely.
Because writing really helps get stuff down, I found.
Mm.
I really like journaling and just saying how I'm feeling, because I think when it's out on paper, you do feel a bit lighter.
Mm.
And if it's just a tiny bit, now you've got it on paper, you can start to kind of validate what you're thinking.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It also helps you to... realize exactly how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Without, you know,
which is a big one.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're telling yourself rather than telling someone else, so you don't have to worry about who knows.
That's true. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. Wow. So really though, you have recovered so much compared to where you were. Like, you are, you know, that's why I wanted to speak about this today, because we've both been through a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
With, you know, our mental health. And now you are seeing results, aren't you? You are, you know, you're doing so much more. Like tell people how much have you changed compared to where you were? Because I think it's good for people listening that might be right now really struggling. I don't know. There might be somebody listening to this right now that feels totally, like, helpless. Like, talk through how you've kind of found the light, so to speak.
Okay, so for me, the one way that I actually gauge where I'm at is the fact that when I hit rock bottom, it was a case of I wasn't leaving the house. I wasn't getting out of bed even. I wasn't eating. I was just either sleeping or lying in bed, scrolling through social media. And then I'd have messages and I wouldn't reply and people would think I'd be ignoring them and things like this. And now, if I ever do feel like kind of shutting off from the world, I do it, but I let people know that care and love about
me. We've had this, haven't we? Where
we have, yeah.
This is important to know, I think, because you might be somebody that has a friend that suffers on and off of mental health, and you might think that that person is ignoring you, or they're shutting you out, or you've done something wrong. But usually, that isn't the case, is it? Because I, like, on a few occasions in the past, I've thought that Vic was either, like, not happy with me, or it sounds silly to even say it, but, like, or ignoring me. But actually, it's like, no, she needed that time to process and that time for herself. And that is, I think that's important to say, isn't it? Because that can be a thing sometimes that people don't realise.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also when you lead a very busy life, like I do, you know, I'm constantly wanting to be busy, but that's just because of the kind of person I am. And, and you're the same.
We're both the same, aren't we?
Yeah, and that's a really great thing for people like us.
Yeah.
But also what it does mean is that when I do get those bursts of, oh, I really don't want to leave the house today.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You do switch off, and it can be difficult to take that step of going, okay, well, I was meant to meet this person today, but I really, really just don't want to see him today.
The thing is,
you might not have seen them for ages, and that could actually be one of the triggers. So
that makes sense.
It's making sure that the people around you understand that what you're going through isn't a set thing. It's not something that is constantly
that's
the same.
That's so true. It's fluid, isn't it?
It's
not
so
solid.
Fluid. Yeah.
That's so true, because again, it's we can't predict, like, in a month from now. We can't predict in a week from now. You can't predict it, can you?
No.
You can't, because something could happen, and then that can set things off, and then something else could happen. Like you can't plan for it.
Yeah,
you
and then that's why you really do, when you're in those positive, really happy moments, you should really, really take a hold of them.
And celebrate them,
And celebrate them. Yeah. And when you're feeling low, you know, if you are one of the listeners that isn't, you know, that is feeling low and you don't really know why, or there's something going on, and, you know, don't worry yourself about what's going on. Focus on the fact that you have those people around you that love and care about you. You have places to go if you need the help.
Yeah.
Things like Mind.
Yes.
There are so many, even central to Birmingham.
Yeah.
I assume you have quite a few Birmingham listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Birmingham.
So, you know, Birmingham listeners, there are so many specific mental health places for you to go here in Birmingham.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to have a look very quickly to... there it is. Forward Thinking. So Forward Thinking was what
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and you can do a self-referral. And what's brilliant about that is that you have control over what you're saying and how you're saying that you're, you know, feeling.
Yeah.
And there's nobody telling you, well, this is exactly what it is. It's a case of, this is how you feel. Let's get you the help that you want.
Yeah.
And move on from there. You don't need a diagnosis.
Wow.
Which is something that for me was imperative, because I did not have a diagnosis.
I remember. Yeah.
But I was at the point where I was like, I realize now, you know, I'm out of bed, I'm out of the house. I realize now that where I was not good. I need to speak to someone.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. And Forward Thinking is a brilliant brilliant little charity umbrella that is...
I think that's amazing that we've got this, though, because, like, 20, 30 years ago, what would it be like for us? Like, things have got so much better, haven't they?
Yeah, I think some people struggle to understand it, no matter what generation you're in.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, at all. But also, don't let anybody tell you that you have to validate your mental health, because if you have mental health, whatever it is that you have, okay, it's yours.
Yeah.
You are the one that labels it. You are the one that tells people about it. Okay. You are the one that doesn't have to tell people about it. You know, but don't let anyone tell you that your mental health is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Yeah. Don't let anyone tell you that your mental health is either valid or invalid.
Yes. That's a good point. Yeah.
Because they don't have the right to say it. They don't understand you and your thought process.
I know, and they're not in your mind, are they?
In your mind, yeah. Because everyone's depression, everyone's anxiety.
Yeah, it's especially anxiety as
all
well.
All very different. Yeah, so and the triggers different. Are very different.
Yeah, so different. Yeah. I was actually speaking to a friend this morning that they're having a bit of a bad time of anxiety at the moment. And I was just saying to them, because I was saying they were kind of sad about the fact that it stops them from doing... so much that they want to do. And I said, you know what, you might not assume it, but you're so brave and strong, because when you're dealing with anxiety especially, it's so crippling and it's exhausting. I said, just remember, you are brave if you are dealing with it right now, because you're getting up every morning and you're still trying. That's the point, isn't it? Like, when you used to suffer, you'd still try. And we've had conversations a lot over the last year where I said I was quite shocked when I first found out that Vic was suffering, because whenever I used to see her, like, around campus and stuff, she'd be so, like, I always felt, like, well turned out, like, immaculately dressed, and always had a smile on her face. But I think that's a good point there, because I always used to think, oh, yeah, Vic's fine. But in reality, she actually wasn't.
Yeah.
And the outside, you know, appearance, you do judge it. You see something, you think, oh, yeah, they're looking fine, they look nice, they've got makeup on, they've got a nice outfit. You think everything's hunky-dory, but actually, it isn't always. And in Vic's case, it wasn't. And I guess... maybe during that time, which is important to probably note, that you probably weren't in a place where you were totally accepting of it, if that makes sense.
Oh no, I didn't.
See,
I
never used to accept mine either.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're in it and you don't realise for a long time that you're suffering from mental health, you just don't. You don't realise it, and you know there's something wrong, and you know it's not nice, but you don't think you're suffering from mental health, do you? You just don't.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a weird
I,
one.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think. I had maybe two or three people actually genuinely ask me what is going on, because they knew me.
That's insane.
And the thing is, those people are still in my life.
That makes sense.
A lot of people from last year backwards aren't in my life anymore.
Yeah,
and I think that's very telling of how accepting people genuinely are of who you truly are.
Yeah.
With whatever it is. People can accept the fact I have asthma. Why can't they accept the fact that I have depression?
Thank you.
mic drop.
No, how true is that, though?
Yeah.
That is so, so true. Like, when you say that, though, how do you feel about mental health in general now, in terms of it being, like, accepting? Because I guess we've grown up in a really crucial time where, I remember when I was a lot younger, it really wasn't spoken about, but now all of a sudden, as I've grown up, it has been. So we've seen before and after, haven't we? We've experienced both. Like, how do you feel like it's changing and improving, or not, if the case may be?
Well, I think it depends where you go.
Yeah.
And also, it's very clear that in terms of areas and location, those that are closer to universities or higher levels of education, they're usually more aware of mental health issues and similar. But... it's an interesting topic that, because the development of acceptance also comes with the backhand of people trying to pin it on something.
Yeah.
And it's pinned a lot on social media, which I can understand to an extent. Yeah. You know, there are
that's
influencers who are, you know, done up all the time on their profile, not necessarily showing the downtime that they have.
And who they really
like
are.
Yeah, I mean, their profile is a part of who they are, whether it
that's
be
true.
Their front or just, you know, who they are generally speaking. But, you know, social media is not the be all and end all.
No, it's not.
Of the problem with mental health.
No, it's
always
not.
Been there. It's just people are seeing it now.
Yeah.
Because there's more and more studies being done on it. It's like men's mental health. I'm
yes.
so glad that it's at the forefront of mental health problems.
So am
and issues
I, because that's a huge one.
It is massive. And the thing is, it's such a shame that society has done this horrible thing to men in general, where they
yeah,
are not allowed
so
to talk
damn
about,
passionate about it.
They're not allowed to talk about their emotions.
Yep.
And that is really a shame.
It's a huge, huge... It's just a problem. It's just messed up in general, because even now we're still seeing, like, men, they just feel like they cannot talk about how they are feeling. And again, the amount of men that are taking their own life, like Mike from Love Island this year, awful.
Oh,
that
yeah,
really upset
topical,
me.
Isn't it?
That really upset me, because
yeah.
again, like, as I say, like, with you earlier, your appearance, you're looking, thinking, oh, he's got the perfect body, he's got, like, the perfect image, he's got the nice clothes, the fancy car. You'd presume he would be happy. But again, he wasn't happy. And he
yeah.
was suffering really badly with actually depression again, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, mental health can be a really lonely thing.
Yeah.
It can be a really, really lonely thing.
And that's the point.
Thing.
He had all those contacts in his phone and all these people around him, but there was a lot of people saying that he felt really lonely in the weeks before he went.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just think that is just so upsetting.
Yeah, I think personally I've dealt with that. I've felt very, very alone, even
yeah.
in a room full of people.
I've experienced that as well,
yeah.
I get that. Because you can literally be in a room full of people, like you say, full, and you can still feel like you're the only one, and you can feel alone, and you can feel lonely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a cliche thing to say, but it is.
But it's true.
It is so true. And, you know, it can happen anywhere, uni, at home,
yeah.
you know, like especially family situations.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting how even if you're in a room full of people like your family, how you can feel so distant from them because of your mental health.
Yes, because how you yeah. are mentally. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
and
absolutely.
You know, I remember one specific time I was sat with my family. We were about to have dinner. We were sat in the lounge. And I all of a sudden felt this horrible feeling of, like, I didn't feel a part of my family. I know I'm a part of my family.
Yeah.
And I know that my family love me. But right then, at that point, I was like, they probably don't even want me here. And I thought to myself, hold on, why am I thinking that?
You know, you realize what you were
that's
thinking,
not
right?
true.
Yeah.
yeah. And working through that is partly about honesty around the people that you're with.
Yeah.
You know, and also going and speaking to someone within that group of people, whoever it is that you have the most in common with. You know, for example, for me, it was my mum. I went up
yeah.
to my mum and I was like, mum, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And she automatically changed the situation. We went straight in for dinner. You know, we sat down around the table, and it was fab.
I think that's
absolutely
really lovely
fine.
Because you felt that you could speak to her, and that's
yeah.
really nice.
But that's the big thing is that when you finally have the power within yourself to speak back to your demons and go, you know what?
Fuck
nah.
you. But it is though. It's saying
yeah.
it to it. It's saying, do you know what? I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
I'm not buying this crap anymore. I'm not believing in this. I'm not, like, believing in the degrading, in the nasty, in the judgmental thoughts. I'm no longer believing in it. Do you know why? Because
yeah.
you don't have that power to do that to me.
Yeah.
You don't have that control to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
for, I guess me and you can both agree, for so many years, we did buy into it, so to speak.
I mean, I definitely bought into it. And sometimes I still do.
You
and
have to bat it away still, don't you? Like,
yeah.
Even I do. Sometimes things will come to your head, like little kind of judgmental things. Like, no, you bat it away. Like,
yeah.
bat it with a tennis
yeah.
racket.
See
bat
you later.
It, bat it, bat it. And I think what I've realised with that is that actually that will always happen on and off for probably a lot of us.
Yeah.
That will happen
on
and off from time to time. And it's seeing the thought come in and then saying, do you know what? I can see what this is.
Mm.
We're not going to go there.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it's easier with time, because when you've lived in a negative mindset like I have, it can be very easy to be consumed by all of it.
Mm.
But I think because I worked on myself and started improving, now if anything comes in, it's a lot easier for me to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Where before, because there was so much of it, it was near impossible. Mm. It was near impossible to get rid of it, because back then it wasn't just one-off thought. It was like daily, judgmental, critical, negative thinking.
Yeah.
And when it is so much, you literally, doesn't matter how many rackets you've got, you cannot get rid of it.
I tell you what I did, that actually, you know, I started writing down goals and things like that.
Yes, we're so passionate about this, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we both write goals.
It's such a brilliant thing. But actually, one of them for me was to cover my mirror and not look at it for a while. You know, I didn't set myself a time frame because it might cause me to go backwards.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I said just for a while is what I wrote down. That helped. That really helped, because for me, a lot of what people know me for is my image, the way I present myself.
See, I was saying that just, wasn't I? Yeah, basically. That's true.
And because of that, a lot of people take me to face value rather than actually understanding me.
Yes.
As a person.
Yeah, yeah. The real Vic underneath all of it.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I just don't check myself, if I wear what I feel comfortable in.
And actually not care.
And yeah, yeah.
How was that experience?
It was...
Because that must be interesting.
It was really weird. I think that's what I would say. It was good. It really helped me to think about my body, the way that I personally want to dress myself.
Yes.
You know, and not thinking about, oh, you know, someone's going to say this,
others.
Someone's going to say that.
It's so easy to think about what everyone else is going to think about us.
Yeah. And it made me a lot happier within that specific section.
Yeah.
Of what I was processing.
And that's a big one though, isn't it? That's a big one. Our appearance, I guess, for so many of us, is always going to be a big one on the list.
Mm.
Again, we could say it's because of society, we could say it's because of lots of things, but it ultimately it's a big one, because I guess it's what we see every day and what others see every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's no getting away from that one, really.
No. No, yeah.
unless you do what Victor did and you cover your mirror up.
it's one resolution for something that's, you know, if you have anxieties that are triggered by the way that you look.
Yes.
Which, you know,
I've
had moments where I haven't left the house, or I've had a full-on breakdown because my outfit felt so wrong on my body.
Yeah.
And I worked so hard to try and figure something out to wear, and
I've had that,
and it's
as well.
A really important occasion or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean I was on holiday and I think I was wearing some shoes that I didn't want to wear, and someone took a photo, and I went and saw that photo, and oh gosh, and I fully started crying because I hated the way that I looked. Oh. Fully. This was last year.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my mum then about that specific side of the anxieties that I go through. And she was like, I didn't realise. I'm sorry that I brushed it off. And, you know, when you finally explain, you know, as I said, when you finally explain things, people understand.
They do. Even when you think to begin with they might not, they usually end up understanding, which is nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, to people who don't have mental health issues, or people who have friends with mental health issues, just try and be as empathetic as you can. And if you do think that your friend or someone that you know is suffering, don't go and tell them that they're suffering.
Yeah.
Just make yourself available. Say, hey, how are you doing? Do you want to catch up for a coffee? Totally casual.
Yeah.
Totally casual. And if they want to talk to you about it,
they will do, won't they?
They'll talk to you about
it. Open up if they want
to. But having that person there who genuinely inquires about how you're feeling makes a massive difference.
It does. I try to do that with you, don't I?
Yes.
But I try to be that.
All the time. It's brilliant.
I try to be that person. I'm just kind of like, do you know what, Vic? I'm here for you. If you need to phone me, FaceTime me, text me, anything, I am here, because I think sometimes just having like somebody at the other end of a phone, even, it doesn't even have to be face-to-face, does it?
No.
Just on the phone, it's just, it can be such a lighter kind of element. It can be such a help, can't it? It can be such a tonic to kind of just Because I know they, you know, I know people joke about, oh, problem shared is a problem halved, but sometimes in a way it kind of is, because you speak to people and then it kind of validates stuff and you realise that maybe what you were thinking to begin with, actually things aren't as bad as you first thought.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're in your own head, everything is like, everything's been zoomed into like 200, everything looks bigger and worse sometimes, and just speaking to somebody else, to another human, can really help put things into perspective.
Yeah.
So people, that's why we say that people, relationships, they're so damn important, aren't they? They're so damn important. Like when I used to suffer with mental health years ago, I think that's the thing. I never spoke to anybody about it ever. I would never talk to anybody about it. I wouldn't open up about it. And it's only been in the last two, three years that I've started speaking to people about it, because I just wouldn't. Because to me, I can honestly say, I used to think if I tell people this, they're going to think I'm like a failure. That's the, you know, I know it sounds weird to say. They're going to think, you know, that's not normal. They're going to think, oh, that's just too much for me to deal with. I can't speak to him. I used to think that it's better I just...
I've had that. I've had people have say to me, like, this is just too much. And you know what? Now I look back at it and I'm like, okay. You know what? If you couldn't deal with it, then that's because you're protecting your own mental health. But when it's a person that you thought was a true friend,
yes,
and they, if they say it in a certain way that's like, you know what, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, you're no longer any fun.
And you know then that you definitely know that it's not your real friend.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And sometimes we have to learn it ways of that doing way. It.
Yeah. There are two very different ways of that. You know, you can have a true friend who does say to you from time to time, you know what, Vic, I really can't talk about things today.
Yeah.
Because in my own head, I can't do. And I've had to say that. I've genuinely had to say, in fact, to one of my friends the other day on the phone, he was talking to me, like just talking at me. And I said to him, I'm really sorry.
I can't do this today.
I can't help you right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the capacity to take on what you're saying.
I get that. Because it's almost like you need to help yourself first in a way. Yeah, like, you know, like when you suffer with mental health. Mm. Imagine, you know, suffering mental health and then this didn't happen to me, but imagine me suffering and a friend saying, oh, Jack, I'm also suffering. It's like, well, I'm going to struggle to really help you because right now I'm really suffering as well, and I need to kind of somehow try to mend myself.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that. It'd be like overload.
It's all about that balance. I mean, I think we work nicely with it.
Yeah.
But it's
we bounce quite well off each other, don't we? Yeah.
It's about being honest with how you're feeling.
Honesty. Jeez. But honesty really is the best policy because I think me and Vicky in different aspects have kind of learned that the hard way sometimes, especially with like what we've been through that... Joan, I think when you look back from all the years, you realise that actually sometimes just being honest and just being honest about, you know, for me, sexuality, mental health, all sorts, would have been the easier option. But you don't see that at the time.
Yeah.
You really don't see that at the time.
Yeah.
Because it's too scary.
Being honest is like a whole other ball game.
Yes, it is.
That's like a whole other ball game. Coming to terms with your sexuality and then identifying as that openly, that is...
Huge.
Yeah.
There's like a whole like 1,000 miles in between those two points.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff in between that's just like, whoa, soul searching. Who am I? What am I? Yeah. What do I like? What don't I like?
Yeah. I don't know the exact research, but to my knowledge, isn't there a link between LGBTQ+ people and mental health?
I'm pretty sure there must be.
Because I've heard it somewhere, but I'm not.
It will make perfect 100%. Sense because I don't know about you, but I can say that my mental health, you know, I suffered really badly with mental health like when I was a teenager, so like 13, 14, 15, 16. Like I've only been, I like to say, in recovery. I don't know. I try to say I've been in a good space for 3 years, which isn't a very long time in the grand scheme of things, but in some ways it feels like forever because I guess even you can say, even though you've only been better, you know, inverted commas, for a little while, it can feel like a long time because when you're in a good space, it's just so good, isn't it?
It feels like forever ago.
See, for 3 years for me, it's like decades ago, it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, I've changed courses, changed friendship groups, changed sport.
You've changed so much about yourself.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it's kind of funny talking about it because I don't really tend to.
Yeah.
Because it can be a lot for people to absorb. So listeners, if you need to take a break,
and
take
this is a lot. This is mental. This is mental health. We're talking about mental health this month, yeah. And do you know what? It is a lot, but both of us just really want to, you know, say to anybody that's like suffering or anyone that knows, we want to tell you about different experiences because we're just trying to make it seem really damn normal, because it is really damn normal, and it is normal. Like, yeah. Again, it is.
What is normal?
That's so true. We're not normal, are we?
What a question.
we're not normal. We're like the opposite.
Yeah, no.
You've got to embrace it, though.
I quite like it.
I like the fact we're different. You've got to, yeah. You've got to...
embrace your quirks.
Do you know what? Standing out's fun. Blending in is boring. So, guys, take that away, because that is important.
I don't really have a choice.
Neither of us have a choice, do we? We were born this way.
Yeah, I think it's the shortness. I think that's what makes me stand out.
Don't be daft. You're just a very, like... extra kind of person, and that's like the best kind.
Oh, you're saying
it's right, though. It's right.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely more extra than I am. I'll give you that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Honestly, wow. Okay, like I'm gonna switch things back to LGBT me.
Go for it.
Mental health. I want to say that with my sexuality, I really feel like that has a huge impact on my mental health. But actually, looking back, I know why that isn't technically because of that. Because if I came out as gay in school and it was fine, like imagine a world where it was just normal. I don't think I would have suffered, because the only reason I suffered with mental health was because I was bullied for being gay. Do you know what I mean? So actually looking back now, thinking if I was just accepted,
yeah,
I probably, to be honest, it's a weird thing to say, I probably wouldn't have suffered with mental health that much. I really don't think I would, because a lot of it came from the bullying, and as a result of being so badly bullied, it had such a knock-on effect on my confidence. I had no self-worth, I had no motivation to do anything, I'd rather just like blend into the background than stand out or be anything, because that's all I really wanted. Because the bullying was like, it was never like, you know, physically, it was just verbal, but it was like torment kind of bullying. Yeah. Like, it was really, really, really nasty.
Verbal and physical bullying is just as bad as each other.
Do you know what? I can see, yeah, it is, isn't it? It is.
It really
is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know that had a huge effect, because when you go somewhere every single day that you don't like, it's not going to be long until there's a knock-on effect with your mental health, is there? Like, if you go somewhere every single day and you hate it, it's going to have an effect. And it did have an effect. And you know, like, I suffered quite badly with my mental health after I left school as well, because I realised for me it was kind of a delayed thing. Like, I thought just because I left school, I thought I was going to be okay then, but actually I wasn't okay, because I suffered so badly with having no confidence. I was, like, scared. Like, I had so much bad anxiety from just feeling so scared. That's the one word I can use, like, scared all the time. It just left me, like, I just don't even recognise, like, when I look back now, I don't recognise that version of myself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do, because I'm like, you know what, I've lived it and I've experienced it and I get it. But that's just one half of it, because I had social anxiety as well, which I think people are shocked about, because people think I'm quite, like, a confident person. Like,
what?
You see, people do, though, don't they? Like,
yeah.
Like, I always say to people, do you know what? Well, I'm getting more confident now, but I haven't always been. I used to have the worst social anxiety, and being around people in general wasn't an enjoyable experience. Being around members of my own family, like, you know, my dad's side of the family, was not an enjoyable experience. Me and my sister spoke about this not long back, and you know, we still have times even now occasionally where, like, we see certain family members and it's like all of a sudden one person can bring everything crashing down almost.
Yeah.
One family member can say something to me or her and we can be like, I feel anxious. And it's at times like that I remember, do you know what, remember how far you've come.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone have the power to do that, because for such a long time I let people at school, you know, other individuals kind of like have a huge effect on me. And I think it's looking inside of yourself and just realizing what inner strength you've got. Because when me and you look back now and we think, in the future when things might crop up, we can easily say, do you know what, if you've been through and survived what you have done, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I can always say that now.
Thank you.
There's only one way, and that is up.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Yes, that is so true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is so true, because, again, like with myself, when I had social anxiety, that none of this got better overnight. Like, mental health takes a long time to improve.
Mm.
You can have it for a little while, but then it will probably take double the time to recover from it.
Yeah,
that's the thing that I can see. Because when I, you know, I only slept for like 3-4 years, but at the time they felt like forever. It felt like a long time because it was like constant, like, you know, I didn't want to be around like groups of anybody really. Like, mm-hmm. I had friends at school, but it was never like, I would never go out of my way to meet anybody new, because I think I got so used to people judging my sexuality straight away. I was like, oh God, don't, you know what, Jack, just give up. Stop trying to make friends. Stop trying to fit in, because you're not going to. You're not going to find anybody that... God, I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry. It just gets me a bit emotional. Like, you're not going to find... I used to think that I'm not going to find people that accept you for you, so stop trying. It literally got to that level, like, probably towards year 11. I was like, oh God, I'm like 15... I'm 16 now, I'm over this. Like, you're not going to find people that accept Jack, so just get on with it. Which is such an emotional thing for me to even say out loud, but...
Yeah. I agree.
Honestly, was I in that headspace? Yeah, because I was just so used to people judging that straight away that I thought, God, you're probably not going to find people that accept you, but just when you think you're not going to, something happens. And guess what? I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
And look now.
I know.
And you know what I'm like now. For a long time, I never, ever would have believed this. There's no way. So please, everyone, remember, no matter how bad things feel, it's so easy to think, I'm never going to get better. I'm never, ever going to improve. I used to think that I would never, ever, ever find the light at the end of the tunnel. It's so important for me to say that, because I truly, and being honest now, I thought I would never, ever get better, and I did. I thought I'd never get better.
Mm.
But I can openly say, I remember several occasions and nights over, you know, that period where I did not want to wake up in the morning. And I literally remember physically saying it to myself before going to bed. And I'm being honest now. But
yeah.
I said, you know what, I just don't want to wake up in the morning. I don't want to wake up tomorrow because I've had enough. I'm tired. I've had enough of it. I'm tired. And, you know, like you say, when that was my lowest point, and the only way was up, and that was at the lowest, because I just didn't want to carry on, because I was just sick of being ridiculed and like feeling shit about myself and feeling bad and just feeling out. I felt anxious about everything. But I was diagnosed with PTSD as a result.
Yeah.
So that's what I've suffered with, anxiety, general, I guess. Social anxiety and PTSD, and like PTSD was a very, very bad experience, because that's something that leaves you feeling like it's like a constant feeling of feeling scared all the time. Like, you think something bad's going to happen, and I'd constantly think that something bad was going to happen. I was, you know, I haven't spoken about this even on videos and stuff, but I'm just going to say it because people otherwise won't understand what I'm talking about. You won't understand why I had it. This is different to the other stuff. The anxiety and the social anxiety was kind of the whole sexuality thing. The PTSD was, I guess, a little bit of that, but it was because two really bad things happened in quick succession.
Mm.
So my house was broken into.
Oh.
It was, like, really traumatic. It was really bad. And then not long after that, my nan died, she wasn't just a nan, though. She was actually, like, my mum.
Oh,
as in, I'd see her daily. She died when I was 13. So this is when I was diagnosed. I was diagnosed with PTSD when I was 13. So that was a long time ago. But I saw her every single day. So it was literally like a mum. Like, because I've got a single parent, my nan and my grandpa would look after me and my sister when we were on, like, holidays. And, like, she'd pick us up from school, he would. And, you know, losing her was such a big thing. So I was diagnosed with PTSD. And that was the worst, like, place I've ever been in. Is that's when things really were just... Because I was in school at the same time.
Yeah.
So somehow I was trying to juggle doing schoolwork and having PTSD. And it just meant that I'd go to school, I'd come back, and on a night and on the weekend, I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't go anywhere. Like, I just wouldn't do anything. Like, I literally... When you have PTSD, it's about being scared of something. So I was just terrified all the time that something bad is going to happen. Like, you can't even... You can't say what. You just think that something bad is going to happen. You hear about all sorts of people having it after they've been, like, assaulted, like, all sorts of different things. It's literally just when you have, because it's post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
So it's when you just suffer something traumatic. And I think it was a recipe of that. And my nan died within a couple of months.
Mm.
And again, after you know, the break-in, I remember them saying, oh, do you need, like, help, like, any victim support? We're like, no, we're fine, we're good. It was delayed with me. It was delayed. And so it was, like, just after my nan died, a couple of months after.
Yeah.
I started feeling poorly. And I thought, this is weird, because I was fine at the time, but actually, it was totally delayed, and it was very, very strong. It was, like, I'd literally be scared to go out to the shops. Like, I mean, totally, I wouldn't want to go anywhere, I wouldn't want to go out, I'd go to school and that would be it. I wouldn't want to go anywhere, I wouldn't want to do anything. Had no motivation, had no drive, and that's why I think a lot of people are shocked when I tell them all this, because they see me now and they're like, whoa. Whoa. I'm like, yeah, this, like I say, when, between the ages of 13 and 16, not good. Since then, a lot better. 16 to 18 was, I like to say that was my sorting out years. And that was being in recovery and actually accepting my sexuality. Again, I came out to my mum, but I didn't accept it. And I didn't realise that until I look back now. Like, I came out and I was like, oh, I've come out now, that's it. It actually wasn't it. I had to accept it as well. And I didn't accept it for such a long time. So that was like my sorting out kind of phase. So it's taken a lot. I didn't take medication. Like Vic, I didn't do anything like that. I had counselling at school by the school counsellor, and that was really, really good. And then I also had CAMHS counselling. So CAMHS was like the, you know, child adolescent mental health service. I still remember I was on a waiting list for quite a long time for that, and I had it, and I can't remember how long it was, but I just remember it got to the point where she said, Jack, you don't need to come anymore, like, we can see, you know, you're getting better and stuff. And I thought, it's weird, because I remember the last session I had, I didn't feel like I'd improved, but I remember my mum saying, well, if they're saying that you're improving, then you're improving. But again, sometimes when you're still recovering from mental health, does that make sense? You can't sometimes see even that you're recovering, can you? It's only when you really do think and look back, you're like, oh, actually, maybe I am better then, maybe I am improving.
Yeah.
Because it's yourself living in your own mind every day, it's easier for an outside source to say, oh, Jack, you are improving. But when you're in your own mind, it's like, am I? It is a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, touching on PTSD, I mean...
Yeah, go on.
For me, my PTSD onset was also very, very delayed.
Yeah.
But I only got told that that's actually what it was late last year.
Really?
Yeah. By the counsellor that I was seeing with forward thinking. And... I opened up about a certain situation in my life, and when she said, oh, you know, that's what it was, I was like, why? I didn't even realize that it was a thing. I thought that it was only something that war veterans got,
soldiers. Thought when I was diagnosed with it, I thought originally I had OCD, because like my behavior about things was like constantly like checking things, like checking like stuff was like safe, and like again being like worrying all the time. I thought, oh, it's OCD, and I'm like, no, it's PTSD, because it's got to such a bad level. And I didn't even understand what it was. I was like, what is it? This is what is PTSD, what is it?
Yeah. So I mean, working through that, that's like a whole other,
because that's strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you have had anything, like, you know, I'm not saying anxiety and other stuff isn't as bad as it is, because I've had both things, but I think PTSD really strong, really nasty. I felt so poorly constantly. It was horrible.
I think it also
really nasty.
I think it also depends on what it's associated with.
Yeah.
So for me, I've done a lot of external work with charities like Birmingham and Solihull Women's Aid, BSW Aid, who help women in crisis.
Yeah.
With either domestic abuse, rape, sexual assault, this kind of thing. And for me, I've got into that work because of how much it means to me personally, but also because I never want a woman to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
And
makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I've utilized my PTSD that way, because it helps my PTSD. It makes me think, okay, well, that's one more person who's got the help that they needed at the right time, because I didn't get the help that I needed, because I didn't process any of it until when I hit university and I realized
it can be that delay though.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's actually what happened to me. I did not realize that this many people went through it.
Yeah.
Because it's not women. It's men as well.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And non-binary and everyone.
Yeah.
Literally everyone can go through this because there are horrible perpetrators out there. But not to digress from the point.
Yes.
you know, when life happens, because...
And doesn't it just...
You know, it does. When life happens, you have to take what you can, even from the worst situation.
Oh, yes.
And use it to better yourself and those around you and your life. Because...
We choose to look at it now as a positive, don't we?
Yeah.
Because it could be... But do you know what I mean, though? Like, we choose... Do you know what I say? I say that although I don't see some of the things that I've been through as totally positive because I never would, I kind of say now they've shaped me. They've shaped Jack into who Jack is now.
Mm.
Because I know that if I hadn't have gone through what I went through, there's no way I'd be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And it's the same for you with all your women campaigning. It's very similar. Like, we've been through things that now mean we're trying to help other people.
Yeah. Coming to university, it switches you on to a lot of different things. I was always quite an active human within social change. I always was the first one at school council to have something to say about something that needed to change. Or, you know, but coming to university made me realize I could make a change about something that changed me a lot. And it's not an experience I would wish on anyone.
Yeah. Same for me.
Like, at all, actually.
It's horrific.
But when it does happen, because sometimes those things are inevitable, you know, if there's a perpetrator, they're gonna do that what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because that's who they are. And having that support network there from the get-go, and people actually knowing about it, or people... having friends that know about it, that can send them in the right direction, that can really make a whole difference on someone's life. Because it coming in earlier could have prevented me from doing so many things wrong.
Yeah.
Trying to work through it, because I didn't tell anyone that would even remotely be able to do anything about it. There was two people that I told, my best friend at the time and the girl that I saw right after it happened,
because
she said to me I look like a ghost.
And it
forms a special bond, you know, myself and the girl that I saw, you know. I actually asked her to come back with me to exactly where it happened 4 years after it happened, and it was a weird move to make, I think. I didn't really think about it. I just did. I was like, I want to go back.
Yeah.
I need to own what happened, because I was at a point where I was like, I'm working through this, but yet I'm not. What's the barrier?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, maybe this is it. And it was. Yeah. And it, going back there and reclaiming it and shouting at the top of my lungs and, you know, punching the air.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, doing that just made me 1,000 times more okay. Not about what happened. And, you know, I still hate the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm now at peace with my own self and that situation and how I handled that situation. Because I was so mad at myself. I was so mad at myself. But the thing is, I didn't need to be mad at myself. I had no right to be mad at myself.
No, you didn't. Not at yourself.
And that is something that I think when you go through intense situations that really are life-changing, when you go back there and you own it, when you truly, truly own it, and you say what you wanted to say right back then,
it is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's life-changing. It's like euphorically amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because, Vic, me and you are two people that have survived.
Yeah.
We are survivors, and that's the point, because do you know what? Like, people could listen to this now thinking, oh my God, this is a lot. But do you know what? Although we've experienced what we've experienced, we are both now, we really are at such higher levels. It's untrue. Like, Dick wouldn't be able to recognise her old self. I wouldn't be able to recognise my old self. You said that to me, haven't you? Say, well, I can't recognise the Vic from last year. And I'm like, well, I get that, because look how much you've changed. Look how much you've evolved and grown as a person.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You have, haven't you?
Like, me and you have grown so much. Like, I know it was me physically in a body sense. It was my body, but it wasn't me. Does that make sense? It wasn't me years ago. It wasn't me. It was like, mentally and spiritually, it was not me. I do feel like I've literally had a rebirth. I even joke sometimes. I call it my rebirth day on this certain like month, because it does feel like I've had.
I'm like that when I hit November. Every single time I hit November,
I'm like it when I hit June.
Yeah.
So right now I do feel like that, because it does feel like you're a totally different person.
Yeah.
And it's amazing in the fact it does show that even though we can go through such shit times and experiences, it doesn't have to be the end. It doesn't have to be...
Yeah, you come out of it shining.
But at the time, though, it's interesting, because at the time you think, oh, this is so bad. I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Like, this isn't going to get better. But then just when you least expect it, things do get better.
Yeah.
Things do improve. Things do start to change and to grow. And realising that is possible for anybody, I think, is so important to anybody listening that is like, oh God, I feel like things won't get better, because they will, won't they?
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
We are a testament to that, because we've been there and we've come out the other end.
Yeah. And I think don't be afraid to ask for help. People say it a lot.
But even still now, I think, people are still, it's the ego, they reserve, still thinking, oh no, if I do that, then they're going to think this about me. If I message this person, they might tell somebody else.
Yeah.
They might. There's still the ego out in the way. Like, I always say, get out of the way of yourself.
Yeah.
I had to get out of the way of myself because I was in the way of me.
Yeah.
Jack was in the way of Jack. He had to get out of the way.
Yeah.
So I could just be real and be honest.
Yeah, sometimes you can be your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I wanted to say is, if you're at university and, you are struggling, there are so many different ways of getting help.
Like, so many now.
There, some people have personal tutors, your lecturer.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your main lecturer and you have a good relationship with a particular lecturer, there's extenuating circumstances. If you're struggling financially, there's financial support that can be offered by your university, especially here at BCU.
Yeah, amazing.
If there's any BCU listeners, it can be difficult to find the stuff.
Yes, but it's
genuinely, if you ever need anything like that, it is there. You just need to go through the right route, and the main route, really, you can speak to the student union if you don't want to speak to the university. And for me, the student union is like my second family.
It literally is your home, isn't it?
I love it. And the thing is that somebody in there, I'm going to give him a special mention, Michael Gale.
Oh.
Legendary man he is.
Good on, Michael.
Yeah. He was my mentor when I was the women's officer for the student union. And that was actually the November of that year was the time where I really was not okay.
Yeah.
And he kept me coming in.
Mm.
I did get to a point where I no longer came in, but prior to that, and then after that, he was the support from the start to the end. Still now, he will check in on me. He'll be like, how you doing? He'll let me come in for like a 5-minute chat about whatever it is that I want to rant about. And, there's people like that around university, if you're in university, or college, or
for
school.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
Even in work and stuff, there is more, isn't there, where you can speak to somebody. Even like, I see a lot now, mental health first aiders.
M&S have a mental health first aid line, mental health first aid line, like phone call line, which is really good for their workers.
Offices as well, at my mum's work, I remember she told me that they were asking one of them to train to be one of the mental health first aiders, and I thought, wow, that's amazing, because at least then, you can go and talk to this one person in the office that they will be there to listen.
BCU have loads of mental health first aiders.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, when we were like a lot younger, this just wasn't a thing. And we're seeing so much progress now, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. It's getting there.
Also, if you ever want any tips on the mental health strategies, I suppose, or, you know, just some pick-me-ups and things. Obviously, you know, you'll follow Jack. But
go on, give something a plug.
Well, actually, I was going to give the mental health services here at the at BC the plug. The mental health first aiders.
Yes.
So it's MHFA underscore, I believe.
Right.
On Instagram. And all of their stuff is amazing.
We need resources. Yeah. We need this stuff because you can't have too much help like that.
Yeah, there's one of the ladies behind it. Her name is Laura Fogarty. I'm really sorry if I butchered your name, Laura.
I love her. yeah.
But she is a gem, you know, and she's one of the coordinators. I don't know the other person. Do you know the other person?
No, just know Laura.
No.
She's an icon.
Yeah, she is. No, she is. She's brilliant. And she really takes pride in making sure that her work is visible.
Yeah.
Because of the... Because, you know, the counselling services available at uni are quite slow.
Yes.
You know, if somebody needs something that's maybe smaller than... then they think that they need a counsellor, then, you know, that's the place to go. And she's great. She's so great.
She's like a glimmer of light.
Yeah.
That's what she's like.
Yeah, she'll message me and be like, "You all right, Vic? I saw you around today, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know this, that, and the other."
And don't you appreciate that, though? And don't you appreciate that, someone doing that?
Because it feels real.
That's
and
what
it
I mean.
Is real.
And it's authentic.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
support is everything. It is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think it's very undersung how...
It's the simple stuff.
Yeah.
It really is just someone like, it's just the simple stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be anything big and fancy. It's just someone kind of just reaching out to you.
Yeah.
And it takes 30 seconds. And it's just, but to the person that receiving it, especially if they need it, it's like, wow, that meant a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate
memes.
It.
That's great.
Yeah, because they cheer you up, don't they?
That's so funny. Especially little dogs, like gifts of dogs.
I
cats.
Totally have time for that. I feel like we're wrapping up on a really positive note, which is nice. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Do you have like any final like little words you want to give? Like, is there anything you want to say? Like, oof. Just to, like, wrap it up a little.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well.
Honestly, thank you though. Like, by the way, thank you actually, because do you know what? Me included. Speaking about some of this stuff today, I was literally like, my palms were like sweating out when I was talking about like the stuff I was going through, and it felt really weird to talk about it again, but do you know what, I feel better for it, because if in the hope of just helping one person, it's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And you know, and in terms of final remarks, I think the one thing that I would say to everyone listening is is genuinely try and remember why you do what you do when you do it. And the reason that I'm saying it like that is that sometimes we'll be in a moment or we'll get caught up in a situation and you lose sight of why you're there, you know, what you're bringing and how you're developing yourself. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're constantly learning. And if you're a friend of somebody with mental health and you don't understand, that is okay.
Yeah,
that is totally okay.
It is.
Do some research, have a chat, or plenty of chats.
Yeah,
there are so many resources out there that tell you about that mental health that they're going through. And the thing is, being educated on it before it happens can sometimes be the saving grace for that person.
Yeah.
And also for yourself, because you will notice it.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, other than that, send memes.
You are, Vic, you are a superstar. Like, you know, we just have such a good relationship, don't we? And speaking about this has been...
Eye-opening, I think.
Yeah, because I've told you things that you haven't heard until now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, if I'm going to say this and... I'm going to say, Poppy, I need to go there. I do need to go down that road that maybe I don't want to walk down, but I need to go down it.
Yeah.
Just in order to explain it and for people to be like, what is he on about? Well, do you know what, guys? You get it now. Like, I'm just, me and Vic are sending all of you, aren't we? So much love.
Yeah.
Positive energy. happiness, like lots and lots of good vibes, because that is all you deserve. Absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
Like, wow. Vic, thank you so much for joining me.
No worries.
It's been absolutely amazing. Guys, thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I will see you next month. Bye.
Bye.